Before I get started, I'd also like to say thank you to Brother Reggie for trading with me. I was scheduled to speak last Sunday, and he graciously traded with me. So, Reggie, thank you. I wanted to start out by doing that because I wanted you to think about what you just saw and what you just heard. You heard me say what I said to Reggie, and you saw me say what I said to Reggie. But nevertheless, what I said was addressed to Reggie. And that's the way the Word of God is. The Word of God is addressed to the human family. And even more specific than that, it is addressed to man's understanding. Because man has the capacity for speaking, hearing, and believing just as naturally as he has the capacity for seeing, tasting, and feeling. God would have never spoke to man if man couldn't hear him. And man would have never heard God if he didn't have the ability to believe it. We have these faculties, or these natural abilities, if you will. And every one of these abilities or these faculties have their own objects on which they act. We have our so-called five senses, our faculty of sight has its proper objects that it acts upon. For instance, when we see a beautiful sunset, you don't really hear that. You don't taste it. There are things that we hear, and only that faculty acts upon that, those objects. The faculty of reasoning is just as much a part, and perhaps I would contend even a higher faculty than all those other faculties combined. In the Supreme Court, we have our nine justices, but we have one chief justice, and he's referred to as first among equals because of his rank. I wouldn't want to be without any of our five senses, but this sense or this faculty is first among equals, if you want to use that phrase. It holds a higher rank or a higher station because God Himself has ordained that we should walk by faith. In fact, God has ordained that we should walk by faith physically, intellectually, and morally. And that's what makes or gives this faculty a higher station than those others. Somewhere in a child's early stages, my best recollection is around 1 year old. Is that about when the child starts walking? Somewhere around that time, when it goes from infancy into what we call being a toddler, it's around this time that child begins to develop this faculty. And the child begins to learn through this ability. He begins to learn through testimony from his parents. The parent tells the child, "Do not touch the hot stove." And we see that law of God come into play. "He that believeth shall be saved from burnt fingers, and he that believeth not shall be condemned to burnt fingers." And throughout from that time forward, he begins to learn through testimony, utilizing this faculty of reasoning. He begins to learn his ABCs. Now, how long would it take you if somebody handed you the ABCs or the alphabet book in a foreign language? How long would you have to stare at that book before you ever figured out how to make the sounds? I suppose you'd go the rest of your life and you'd never figure out how to make those sounds. But once a teacher comes along and you receive the testimony of that teacher on how to make that sound, then we begin to learn the alphabet. We use this faculty in every aspect of our lives. For those of you in my age group, I have found that Advil is one of my best friends these days. Don't we take medicine by faith? And didn't we receive the testimony of others, perhaps the doctor, say, take this medicine, it'll help your aches and pains. We receive the testimony of others. When was the last time any of you took that pill to have it analyzed to see if it in fact had 100 milligrams of ibuprofen in it? You never did. We just take it by faith. When you filled up your car with gasoline, did you ever see whether or not it really did had 87 octane in it? We do all these things. All of our interactions with our fellow man are based upon faith. God has ordained that we should walk by faith physically, intellectually, and morally. So if we do that, if we walk by faith, and we do, in all these temporal, physical things, why would it be thought unusual or odd or strange that God would have us to walk by faith in spiritual things? Dan just read for us from 1 John, the 5th chapter, verse 9. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. If men's words and testimony can be relied on, how much greater can God's? Why is it that we struggle? We do all these other things. We climbed in our car. How do you know it was going to get you here? Do you know that everybody that built that car did everything right? We just act upon faith in our fellow man. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. The confusion surrounding faith, I think, comes from an idea, a mix-up of people putting or ascribing power to faith. And there is power in faith. This is going to be careful. I got to be careful in how I word this. Faith does have power, but Jesus tells us if we had faith of a mustard seed, we'd be able to remove mountains. And this kind of reading on its own, not looking at other scriptures about faith, sometimes lead people to confusion, that they assign some sort of magic power or miraculous power to faith. But the power of faith doesn't depend on the act of believing or the manner a person believes in. The power of faith doesn't even depend upon the certainty of the evidence. The power of faith is in the truth believed. Not long ago, at a quick trip near our house, a lot of people pulled in there to fill up their gas tanks with gas, and they filled up with diesel fuel because accidentally the diesel fuel was put into the gas tank. But they acted in faith. They had faith and all that, but turned out not so good. The power of faith is in the truth believed. Now, when you think about that in terms of all of our other senses and how they work, is it your eye? Or is it the act of seeing? Or is it the sunset that's beautiful? My family and I like the mountains. Is it really your eye? Or is it the act of seeing? It's what that sense is acting upon that gives you pleasure. When everybody joins their voices, we hear the beautiful singing. Is it really your ear? Or is it the act of that sense? Or is it what you are hearing? I love the smell of honeysuckle. And in the spring, I love the smell of lilacs. But it's not my nose. It's not even the function of my nose. Now, they all work together, but it's what my nose is acting upon that smells sweet. Or let's go with the reverse of that. The dead skunk in the road on your way to church that you smelled a mile before you ever got to it. Was it your nose? Was it the sense of smelling? It was what the sense was acting upon that was offensive. In fact, it was so offensive that maybe you even held your nose. You stopped the action of that sense acting on it because it was too offensive. So whether it's tastes or odors or things we see, it's not in the sense or the organs themselves or in the operation of the organs, but it's in the objects on which the senses act. And so it is with faith. The power of faith is in the truth believed. It's that which faith acts on. I copied a quote from a man named Alexander Campbell. He was a preacher way back in the 1850s in that time frame. And I thought he captured this thought really well. I wished I had said this, but I can't take credit for it, but I really like it. He says, "Faith is the hand that apprehends and appropriates Christ and salvation through Him. For as the hand that plucks the fruit is not the fruit, nor that which sustains life, but only that which appropriates the fruit. Likewise, faith's power is not in itself, but it's in that which it receives and appropriates to the soul." I wished I had said that. What value would medicine be? What value would that ibuprofen be to me if I believed it could help? But if I never received it into my system. It's one thing to believe that it can cure or help. But it has to be a strong enough belief to act and to receive it into your system. And we just went through, or still going through, our study in Sunday morning about Moses. I believe every story we've studied about that. I believe that Miriam was struck with leprosy. But no matter how much I believe that, it can do nothing for me to save my soul. And that's a truth. And that's believing in a truth. So we've made the statement now that the power of faith is in the truth believed. Now that's believing in a truth that God has recorded for us. But there's no salvation in that truth. So let's amend that statement that the saving power of faith is in the saving truth believed. Because we can believe. I believe that David slew Goliath. Do you not believe that? But no matter how much I believe that, they can't do anything to save my soul. Because there's no salvation in that truth. Now, it's part of the whole package of truth. We have watched many wedding showers here lately. And as somebody opens up a gift, there's the wrapping paper and there's the box. But it's not really the gift itself. It's the package. And there's a lot of truth that wraps up the truth that can save us. The story of Moses and of Abraham and of Noah, that's part of the package and the wrapping, but the truth that can save us is Jesus. So it's not just in the truth believed. The saving power of faith is in the saving truth believed. You ever wonder why James tells us that even the devils believe and tremble? But the devils cannot appropriate the promise of Christ. Because Jesus didn't die for devils. Jesus didn't die for the angels. Jesus didn't die for the trees. Jesus didn't die for the animals. Only sinful man can appropriate the saving power that's in Jesus. Because it's only to sinful man that is promised. In Romans, the 4th chapter, verse 16, I would call your attention to a phrase. This chapter is discussing Abraham's righteousness, how that it was apart from works, really didn't have to do with his circumcision because the promise was made before his circumcision. But in verse 16, the first phrase of that verse is, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. I've already cleared this with Alan, so I don't embarrass him. But this pulpit on which I'm leaning is made of wood by Alan Van Dusen. Because the artist got to choose what it was made of. It could have been made of steel. It could have been made of concrete blocks. But the Creator decided what it was going to be made of. So the way we speak, the proper English is, it's made of wood by the craftsman. Salvation is of faith that it might be by grace. It is 100% by grace. But it is nevertheless offered and accepted under conditions. Conditions to be performed by the sinful man to whom it's addressed. We are commanded to believe, to confess, to repent, and to be baptized, all of which are acts of faith. That it could be of faith that it might be by grace. Any of you have ever sold a home? And if you haven't, I'll just share with you what is entailed with that sometimes. You call a realtor to put your house on the market. They come over and do their appraisal, tell you what they think they can get for it and all this. Then they got things for you to do. Basically, they want you to do what in automobiles are referred to as detailing. You want to make the thing look the way it did when it was brand new. If it needs painting, paint it. Clean everything up. Have the yard perfectly manicured. You want the house sparkling. They even suggest that if you've got so much junk in your closet, to go rent a storage unit and get rid of it. Go store it there, because when people come to look at it, you want everything neat and in order and looking as roomy and as spacious as it can. When they show it, they want you to have every light on in the house, so everything looks bright and sparkly and clean. They tell you to put on soft music, the kind you hear on elevators. It's real soft and low. They want you to have fresh cut flowers on your table. They suggest that you take vanilla extract and put it on your light bulbs, because the aroma of that arouses an emotional response. All done with the idea of appealing to all the senses. You even got the things to put in your car to have the new car smell. Because all those things appeal to us. Sparkling, brand new. God doesn't make his appeal to us through our senses. We walk by faith, not by sight. And while the eyes are involved, because written testimony has to be read, oral testimony has to be heard, so there's an involvement, but it's addressed to our reasoning. If you're ever on a jury, they'll show you testimony that you'll look at. You'll hear testimony from witnesses, but it's still addressed to your reasoning. And God is addressing man's reasoning. He's not appealing to us through our senses. We don't have incense burning in here to make it smell good, to make it people want to come here because it's bright and shiny and new. God didn't use that avenue. He appeals to your intellect. He says in Isaiah 1, chapter 1, verse 18, "Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be like red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Some 6 or 7 times in the book of Acts, the idea of Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them in 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with them in the Scriptures. Chapter 17, verse 17, it used the word, "Therefore disputed he in the synagogue." It comes for the same word. The same word that was translated reasoned was translated disputed. Chapter 18, verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every day, every Sabbath day. God is appealing to us through our intellect. Now, I'm aware, as you are, that Peter writes, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." But those of us who have tasted the graciousness of our Lord, we didn't do it with our tongues. Peter uses this metaphorically, because 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, "Lay hold on eternal life." And those of us who have done that haven't done that with our hands.
We do that through our faith. If you're here this morning and you haven't appropriated the promises of Jesus and salvation through Him, you're missing out on the sweetness of how the graciousness of the Lord tastes. If you haven't done that, would like to, or if there's any way that the church can assist you in your relationship to Christ, let us know what it is while we stand and sing.